Blessed be God, Father, Son, and Holy Spirit.
And blessed be his kingdom, now and forever. Amen.
Almighty God, to you all hearts are open, all desires known, and from you no secrets are hid. Cleanse the thoughts of our hearts by the inspiration of your Holy Spirit, that we may perfectly love you and worthily magnify your holy name, through Christ our Lord. The Lord be with you.
Also with you.
Let us pray. Almighty God, the fountain of all wisdom, you know our necessities before we ask and our ignorance in asking. Have compassion on our weakness and mercifully give us those things for which our unworthiness we dare not and for our blindness we cannot ask. Through the worthiness of your Son, Jesus Christ our Lord, who lives and reigns with you and the Holy Spirit, one God, now and forever. Amen.
This is a reading from the book of Genesis. The Lord appeared to Abraham by the oaks of Mamre as he sat at the entrance of his tent in the heat of the day. He looked up and saw three men standing near him. When he saw them, he ran from the tent entrance to meet them and bowed down to the ground. He said, "My Lord, if I find favor with you, do not pass by your servant. Let a little water be brought, and wash your feet and rest yourselves under the tree. Let me bring a little bread, that you may refresh yourself, and after that you may pass on, since you have come to your servant." So they said, "Do as you have said." And Abraham hastened into the tent to Sarah and said, "Make ready quickly 3 measures of choice flour, knead it, and make cakes." Abraham ran to the herd and took a calf, tender and good, and gave it to the servant, who hastened to prepare it. Then he took curds and milk and the calf that he had prepared and set it before them. And he stood by them under the tree while they ate. They said to him, "Where's your wife Sarah?" And he said, "There in the tent." Then one said, "I will surely return to you in due season, and your wife Sarah shall have a son." This is the word of the Lord.
Thanks be to God.
The psalm appointed for this morning is Psalm 15, which we will read in unison. Lord, who may dwell in your tabernacle, who may abide upon your hill, holy hill, whoever leads a blameless life and does what is right, who speaks the truth from his heart. There is no guile upon his tongue. He does no evil to his friend. He does not heap contempt upon his neighbor. In his sight, the wicked is rejected, but he honors those who fear the Lord. He has sworn to do no wrong and does not take back his word. He does not give his money in hope of gain, nor does he take a bribe against the innocent. Whoever does these things shall never be overthrown.
A reading from the letter of Paul to the Colossians. Christ Jesus is the image of the invisible God, the firstborn of all creation. For in him all things in heaven and on earth were created, things visible and invisible, whether thrones or dominions or rulers or powers. All things have been created through him and for him. He himself is before all things, and in him all things hold together. He is the head of the body, the church. He is the beginning, the firstborn from the dead, so that he might come to have first place in everything. For in him all the fullness of God was pleased to dwell, and through him God was pleased to reconcile to himself all things, whether on earth or in heaven, by making peace through the blood of his cross. And you who were once estranged and hostile in mind, doing evil deeds, he has now reconciled in his fleshly body through death, so as to present you holy and blameless and irreproachable before him, provided that you continue securely established and steadfast in the faith, without shifting from the hope promised by the gospel that you heard, which has been proclaimed to every creature under heaven. I, Paul, became a servant of this gospel. I am now rejoicing in my sufferings for your sake, and in my flesh I am completing what is lacking in Christ's afflictions for the sake of his body, that is, the church. I became a servant according to God's commission that was given to me for you, to make the word of God fully known, the mystery that has been hidden throughout the ages and generations, but has now been revealed to his saints. To them, God chose to make known how great among the Gentiles are the riches of the glory of this mystery, which is Christ in you, the hope of glory. It is he whom we proclaim, warning everyone and teaching everyone in all wisdom, so that we may present everyone mature in Christ. The word of the Lord.
Thanks be to God.
Thank you. The Holy Gospel of our Lord Jesus Christ, according to Luke.
Glory to you, Lord Christ.
As Jesus and his disciples went on their way, Jesus entered a village where a woman named Martha welcomed him into her home. She had a sister named Mary, who sat at the Lord's feet and listened to what he was saying. But Martha was distracted by her many tasks. So she came to him and asked, "Lord, do you not care that my sister has left me to do all the work by myself? Tell her then to help me." But the Lord answered her, "Martha, Martha, you are worried and distracted by many things. There is need of only one thing. Mary has chosen the better part, which will not be taken away from her." The Gospel of the Lord.
Before we're seated, I would like for you to turn around and find someone that you do not know or that you barely know and introduce yourself to them and give them a welcome to this place. This is fun, isn't it? This is an interactive sermon, so all you introverts, head for the door. This cathedral is known for its hospitality, welcoming, open, and inclusive. And many of you are here today because you have experienced that hospitality and it feeds your soul and you feel that you belong here. It feels like home. This is not accidental. The Syrian immigrant community that came to Jacksonville 100 years ago and made this their spiritual home dominated St. John's Parish life for decades. You know the family names, the McCools, the Sags, the Abrahams, the Barketts, the Shahoods, the Radys, the Corys, the Maidas, and the Abdenors. They came with a deep tradition of hospitality that has its roots in scripture and Middle Eastern tribal culture. It is their legacy of hospitality that we must continue to embrace and foster if we are to continue to grow this church. And as I said, it is not accidental. In the ancient Near East, hospitality was a social obligation that included a number of practices hosts and their guests alike were expected to observe. In Leviticus, Deuteronomy, Matthew, Romans, we read that God's people are to welcome strangers and to treat them justly. The writer of the letter to the Hebrews would remind the early Christian community, do not neglect to show hospitality to strangers, for by doing that, some have entertained angels without knowing it. It is in this manner that the welcome that was given to the three men by Abraham and Sarah becomes an occasion for divine intervention. Abraham is a man of wealth and influence among his people, but his only son is the child of Hagar, a slave woman. The Lord has promised that Abraham will be ancestor of a multitude of nations, but his wife Sarah is barren, and they are both past childbearing age. Abraham is 100 years old, and Sarah is 90. The story begins as the Lord appears to Abraham in the guise of three strangers who arrive unannounced at the entrance of his tent during the heat of the day. Although Abraham does not recognize that his guests are heavenly beings, he welcomes them and attends generously to their needs. Excessively, we notice. While they are eating, one of the guests makes a startling announcement. I will surely return to you in due season, and your wife Sarah shall have a son. Sarah's response as she listens from inside the tent is to laugh to herself at this ridiculous idea. When the guest overhears Sarah's laughter, he asks, "Is anything too wonderful for the Lord?" The world of Sarah and Abraham is turned upside down, and the promise of the Lord challenges their capacity to believe. In another telling of this story in Genesis 17, Abraham also laughs to think that he and Sarah will have a child in their old age. Then the Lord says, the child will be named Isaac, a wordplay on the Hebrew word for laughter. The words of the stranger to Abraham are echoed in Luke at the Annunciation of Christ when the angel Gabriel tells Mary that her elderly cousin Elizabeth is pregnant. Gabriel says, "For nothing is impossible with God." Later, Jesus would tell his disciples, "Nothing will be impossible for you." Thus, according to the Lord's promise, Sarah conceived and bore Abraham a son in his old age. You see, hospitality opened the way for God to break through and deliver his promise to Abraham. Benedictine monasteries post a sign at their doors that reads, "Let all who enter here be received as Christ." And so it should be with us. Make it your personal business to ensure that every new person you see in this cathedral is greeted as if it were Jesus himself. Watch what happens. Pick up any newspaper or news magazine today, and you will read that the mainline Protestant churches are in trouble. Some pundits say that the Episcopal Church, indeed Christianity, is in a state of morbidity or decline. We hear that we are in a post-Christian era. Some believe that the twin forces of megachurch Christianity, a la Joel Osteen and others, and secularization are going to lead to our disappearance. Phyllis Tickle says that we are in what she describes as the great emergence, which she sees as a normal 500-year cycle. The last great emergence was the Reformation in 1517, and before that it was the Great Schism of 1051, and we could continue going back 500 years and see these great changes, these upheavals. Tickle and others argue that the Great Emergence is a Western phenomenon, but it has some global implications. The Arab Spring could be thought of as a part of this great emergence. Christianity is at the center of this emergence with a radically Jesus orientation. It's very communal. It's post-denominational, post-Protestant, and it's moving. Get this, it is moving into the virtual world at an extremely fast pace. Do you know that we are going to be going to church in a very proximal day here in the virtual world? And we're going to be able to go to church whenever we like. Tickle says that we should rejoice that we are living through this emergence. I'm not sure about that. And we should not panic. I, for one, am not panicked. But I do believe that we must get back to basics if we are to stay alive and thrive as Christians and a church. And those basics would include remaining true to the hospitality, the legacy of the hospitality that this cathedral is known for, and perhaps finding better ways to become even more hospitable and welcoming. The other component is we should make this our home, a serious place for a serious study of Holy Scripture and placing our complete trust in the Word of God and His promises. And finally, come home. St. John's is home. There are two realities about home to which we must cling. First, God has promised that we will receive the love that we have been looking for. And second, God is faithful to that promise. So stop wandering around. Stop church shopping. Instead, come home and trust that God will bring us what we need. We've been running around the whole of our lives seeking the love we desire. Now it is time to end that search. Trust that God will give us that all-fulfilling love and give it to us in a human way. Just stop running and start trusting and receiving. St. John's is a truly safe place. It is where we can receive what we desire. We need the human hands of hospitality to hold us here so that we don't run away again. But when we come home and stay home, we will find the love that will bring rest to our hearts. Amen.
Let's rise and join in a Nicene Creed. We believe in one God, the Father, the Almighty, maker of heaven and earth, of all that is seen and unseen. We believe in one Lord Jesus Christ, the only Son of God, eternally begotten of the Father, God from God, light from light, true God from true God, begotten, not made, of one being with the Father. Through him all things were made. For us and for our salvation, he came down from heaven. By the power of the Holy Spirit, he became incarnate from the Virgin Mary and was made man. For our sake, he was crucified under Pontius Pilate. He suffered death and was buried. On the third day, he rose again in accordance with the Scriptures. He ascended to heaven and is seated at the right hand of the Father. He will come again in glory to judge the living and the dead, and his kingdom will have no end. We believe in the Holy Spirit, the Lord, the giver of life, who proceeds from the Father and the Son. With the Father and the Son, he is worshipped and glorified. He has spoken through the prophets. We believe in one holy Catholic and Apostolic Church. We acknowledge one baptism for the forgiveness of sins. We look for the resurrection of the dead and the life of the world to come. Amen.
Father, we pray for all those who are suffering in any way, for the sick, the lonely, the hungry, and those in pain. I invite you to speak the names of those in need aloud.
Maureen, Cindy.
Lord, in your mercy,
hear our prayer.
Bless this cathedral and all who walk through these doors, that we may serve you all our days. Lord, in your mercy,
hear our prayer.
Bless the city of Jacksonville, that we may grow and prosper. Lord, in your mercy,
hear our prayer.
Give peace in our time, that throughout the world there may be greater understanding among all people. Lord, in your mercy,
hear our prayer.
Give us the wisdom and the means to care for this good earth that you have given us. Lord, in your mercy,
hear our prayer.
Embrace the souls of all those who have died. Comfort those who mourn. I invite you to speak the names of those who have died aloud. Lord, in your mercy,
hear our prayer.
We give thanks for the birth of Stella Josephine Baker, born yesterday to Charlie and Lauren Baker, granddaughter of Debbie Baker. Lord, in your mercy,
hear our prayer.
Let us pray for our own needs and those of others.
Lord God, Heavenly Father, we thank you for welcoming us into this your family, the church, the Cathedral of St. John's. We pray that you would give us your Holy Spirit, that we would welcome one another and the visitor among us, as you have welcomed us all, that we may share in your wonderful promises through Jesus Christ our Lord. Amen. Let us confess our sins against God and our neighbor. Most merciful God,
We confess that we have sinned against you in thought, word, and deed, by what we have done and by what we have left undone.
We have not loved you with our whole heart. We have not loved our neighbors as ourselves. We are truly sorry, and we do not repent.
For the sake of your Son, Jesus Christ, have mercy on us and forgive us,
that we may be light in your world and walk in your voice to the glory of your name. Amen.
Almighty God, have mercy on you, forgive you all your sins through our Lord Jesus Christ, strengthen in all goodness, and by the power of the Holy Spirit, keep you in eternal life.
Amen.
The peace of the Lord be with you always.
I had you worried, didn't I? Welcome, and thank you for being here today. Kate is actually preaching in Linville, North Carolina today at All Saints Church. Do any of you know that parish? A couple of you, yeah. It's an absolutely stunning place. It's 100 plus years old and made out of bark. Holds about 100 people, and they keep it open during the summer, and they invite bishops and other notary folk to come and preach. And they spoil the dickens out of these people. For those of you who don't know, there's a big gate at Linville, and you have to be very rich to go in there. And so Kate will come back spoiled, believe me. Anyway, she will be back next Sunday. Be mindful that we are celebrating baptisms on August 11th. And please contact Sue Inkeman at the church office to have that paperwork executed and ready to go. Please continue to tour the facilities if you have not done so. Someone will be at the font to take you around and show you some of the things that need some work and repair. There is an Altria tonight at St. Philip's at 5 p.m. For those of you who have been to Crucio, please attend and go there to participate in the regional Altria. Ascribe unto the Lord gifts and honor due his name.
Thank you.
The Lord be with you.
And also
lift up your hearts.
We lift them to the Lord.
Let us give thanks to the Lord our God. God of all power, ruler of the universe, you are worthy of glory and praise.
Glory to you forever.
At your command, all things came to be. The vast expanse of interstellar space, galaxies, suns, the planets in their courses, and this fragile earth, our island home. From the primal elements, you brought forth the human race and blessed us with memory, reason, and skill. You made us the rulers of creation, but we turned against you and betrayed your trust, and we turned against one another.
Have mercy, Lord, for we are sinners in your sight.
Again and again you called us to return. Through prophets and sages you revealed your righteous law, and in the fullness of time you sent your only Son, born of a woman, to fulfill your law, to open for us the way of freedom and peace. And therefore we praise you, joining our voices with the heavenly chorus, with prophets, apostles, and martyrs, and with all those in every generation who have looked to you in hope, to proclaim with them your glory in their unending hymn. And so, Father, we who have been redeemed by him and made a new people by water and the Spirit, now bring before you these gifts. Sanctify them by your Holy Spirit to be the body and blood of Jesus Christ our Lord. On the night he was betrayed, he took bread, said the blessing, broke the bread, and gave it to his friends and said, "Take, eat. This is my body, which is given for you. Do this for the remembrance of me." After supper, he took the cup of wine, gave thanks, and said, "Drink this, all of you. This is my blood of the new covenant, which is shed for you and for many for the forgiveness of sins. Whenever you drink it, do this for the remembrance of me." Remembering now his work of redemption and offering to you this sacrifice of thanksgiving, we celebrate his death and resurrection as we await the day of his coming. Lord God of our fathers and mothers, God of Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob, God of Sarah, Rebecca, Rachel, and Leah, God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, open our eyes to see your hand at work in the world about us. Deliver us from the presumption of coming to this table for solace only and not for strength, for pardon only and not for renewal. Let the grace of this Holy Communion make us one body, one spirit in Christ, that we may worthily serve the world in his name. Risen Lord, accept us in the bread. Accept these prayers and praises, Father, through Jesus Christ, our great high priest, to whom with you and the Holy Spirit, your church gives honor, glory, and worship from generation to generation. Amen. And now, as our Savior Christ has taught us, we are bold to say, "Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our trespasses, as we forgive those who trespass against us. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom, and the power, and the glory, forever and ever. Amen. The gifts of God for the people of God, take them in remembrance that Christ died for you, and feed on him in your hearts by faith with thanksgiving.
Thank you. Thank you.
Alleluia, alleluia. Let us go forth in the name of Christ.